And then we're starting a new series today called Ambassadors. Man, I'm fired up about this one. It's going to be great. I'm just excited about diving into this conversation. And really what this is going to be is there's an aspect of our identity that we grab hold of when we become followers of Jesus. And at first glance, this isn't even always that obvious. But when we say yes to following Jesus, there's all kinds of things that become true of us that weren't true before. And one of those things is going to be the fact that the Bible is going to call us ambassadors. And we're going to talk about that today. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, this is probably going to unlock a bunch of stuff for you. It has for me as well. And if you're not a follower of Christ, you're going to understand a little more of what it means to become one, right? And kind of what that journey looks like and why we would do what we would do. And so I think no matter where you're coming from today, this will be very, very helpful. And so what you're going to walk away with today, kind of in our little time here, we're just kind of opening this series up, but you'll understand what does it mean to be an ambassador? Why does Jesus call us that? What does that do to how I interact and kind of with people and how I see people? And you're actually going to see that when I grab hold of this, it actually changes how I live across the board. It actually affects every area of my life in some pretty significant ways. So we're going to begin to open that up today, and then over the next several weeks, we'll keep unpacking it more and more. And what I would just say is this, this is a life-changing reality, right? That if I get a hold of this, it actually changes kind of everything about how I interact with people and how I make decisions in life. And here's where it's going to begin. We're going to see this, this verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul, leader in the early church, he's going to say this to a church that he helped start. And here's what he's going to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." He says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So here's what Paul's saying, and he's kind of talking in this context in the kind of the part that we're looking at here. He's saying, yeah, me and my team, we are ambassadors for Jesus. And the reality is, though, that by extension, everybody who follows Jesus is in the kind of the same way we are ambassadors for Christ. We are standing between kind of God and people, and we would have that similar role that Paul is talking about. And he says that we are his ambassadors. And in the ancient world, when you said that word ambassador, everybody who heard that would have a picture in their mind of what that looked like, what that meant. And here's really what they would have understood. An ambassador would have been this, would have been a trusted representative commissioned by a king or a government and sent on a specific mission. Okay, so here's kind of what it looks like on the board. Kind of what you'd have is this. You've got an emperor or a king or a government that would look and say, there's a group of people over here that I want to send a message to, communicate something to, right? Kind of bring the reality of something to them. And what an ambassador would do is the king would look and say, I'm going to pick you to do that. I'm going to pick you and I'm going to send you to this group of people, and I'm going to trust that when I send you, what's going to happen is you're going to show up in front of that group of people and you're going to represent my heart and my mind and my message. Often there'd be like a specific message that an ambassador was sent to carry. And so what a king or an emperor would do is would look and say, I am entrusting the communication of my heart and my mind, my intention, what I'm trying to accomplish to this person, this ambassador is the idea, right? And so what Paul is saying is this. He's saying that in a very real way, that you and I would just like a king would send an ambassador to a group of people, you and I would look at the reality that King Jesus, right? He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that he's going to look at his followers and he's going to say, I am sending you. I am picking you to go and to represent me to people that don't know me yet, that haven't found me yet. I'm picking you to be my ambassador is the idea. And this starts to have like a ton of implications if this is true, right? If all of this is accurate and real, it starts to affect all that we do. Because wait a minute, if I'm going to start to understand this, this is going to affect kind of how I live my life. Because here's the reality is this, is that being an ambassador is not just something that we do, it's a part of who we are. It's actually a part of who we are. It's not just like, you know, sometimes when I'm on the mission trip or when I'm at church or when I'm in this one situation, sure, I could represent Jesus in that moment. What he's saying is it's actually deeper than that. When I choose to follow Jesus, I'm actually taking on the role of standing between Jesus and people that don't know him yet. I am his ambassador, and I carry that reality with me everywhere that I go. And you can start to even maybe hear that and think, whoa, that's kind of a big deal. You're saying that everywhere I go, I'm supposed to be a representative of Jesus? That's the idea? Yes, that is the idea. That is what it means in a real way to be an ambassador. And just like in when Jesus walked the earth, when he was interacting with his disciples, he would say this, as he near the end of his life, as the Father has sent me, and I am sending you. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, he would send his disciples out, and he would, I mean, just hear the reality of what he's saying. He's saying, just as God the Father looked at me and said, son, I need you to go. I need you to go to the planet. I need you to lay down your life. I need you, I'm sending you on this rescue mission. Jesus is looking at his followers, and he's saying, I'm sending you. I'm sending you, just like I was a sent one, you are a sent one, and I'm sending you on this mission. And they would have heard that, and they would have felt that, and they would have felt the weight of that reality. They would have felt the reality that they're now commissioned to go and to be launched into this mission by Jesus, just like he was by his Father. Now, here's a massive thing I want to make sure we catch. We are ambassadors not because we're qualified to be, but because we're chosen to be. Okay, so here, even I know as you're hearing this, maybe if you're a follower of Jesus, you're thinking, Ryan, there's no, how am I going to be an actual representative of Jesus? Do you have any idea where I've been? Do you know what I've done? Do you know the people that I've hurt? Do you know the drugs that I've used? Do you know the relationships that are broken? If you look back on my story, maybe there's a whole line of wreckage that's back there, and you think, how could I be a person that represents Jesus in any kind of way that's real or effective? Here's the thing. I don't make the rules, okay? This is what Jesus chose to do. And here's the reality is Jesus looked at the people who were his enemy, me, people that had rebelled against him, me and you, right? And he looks and he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son to pay for that rebellion, to pay for your sin. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you and include you into my family. And not only am I going to include you into my family, I'm going to entrust you with a role of representing me in a thing that has really high stakes, right? It's like real. You're going to be my ambassador. I am choosing you. And you might today even say, Ryan, man, I'm in the middle of something awful. If you knew like what I'm currently doing, there's zero chance that God would pick me. And this is just what it is, right? God has chosen us. He's chosen us as individuals to be his representatives. And there's something about being chosen, right? There's something about the reality of somebody looking and saying, I'm going to pick you to be on my team. I'm going to pick you to be with me. That it does something in us. I need to know that because it brings something out of me that's a little bit different. It helps me to rise into that invitation, into that calling that I've received. I remember when I was in college, I went to Kent, and we used to play Ultimate Frisbee. How many of you guys have ever seen Ultimate Frisbee? How many of you guys have ever played Ultimate Frisbee? Okay, how many of you think Ultimate Frisbee is the best sport that's ever been invented? Jesus loves you in a different way. I'm just saying, right? The rest of you, he kind of loves, right? But I love Ultimate Frisbee, okay? Love it. Played it a ton in college. Still try to play it, but I'm getting old now. But like, it was great, right? I loved it. And we would, it was super serious. We used to travel to other schools and this club team, this Ultimate Frisbee club team, everybody took it way too serious and we're super into it. And we would have practices multiple days a week. And at these practices, like, you know, they were pretty fun and intense. And anybody could come and, like, practice and be part of it. And then, like, the people who were the best would play more often in the tournaments. But at these practices, what would happen is you would get, like, a whole array of skill levels at these practices. And so one of the things that was fun to do, I love to do this, every time, you know, we would rotate leadership of, like, who the team captain was. And every once in a while, I'd be able to be the team captain. And one of the things I love to do is I love to pick teams that had a couple skilled players, but mostly was made up of people that really didn't know what they were doing, okay? Then they were like, this is a Frisbee. Here, throw it, right? Use it. And it was a blast because what I love to see happen is as those people were chosen, what happened is it's like they stood 3 inches taller. They're like, you picked me to play in your team and to do this. And when they messed it up, we just encouraged them and helped them learn the skills and move into it. And all of a sudden, they became players. And it was a blast to win with that team. And there's something about being chosen, even though we didn't deserve it. Chosen, we're not qualified. To know that when God looked at you and he said, I actually want you on my team. I know everything you've ever done. I know everything you're in the middle of doing. I know how much of a wreck it is. I know the thoughts that you think. I already sent my son to pay for everything. You're my ambassador. You're going to represent me in a real way. And when I hear that invitation that I've been chosen to do that, there's something in me that rises to meet that calling and to meet that invitation. And it's something that's super important. So I need to know this reality of me sitting in the seat has nothing to do with how good I am or you are. In fact, if anything, it's in spite of us. That God would look at us and he would say, I have chosen, I have sent you for this purpose. That this was his idea. He's the one that did that. And I don't have to submit a resume or an application or qualify for this. He has just looked at me and said, you are going to be the one that represents me to other people. And part of being a follower of Jesus is getting a hold of that reality. And as I start to get a hold of that reality, there's a domino effect where I start to realize, wait a minute, everywhere we go, we show up as ambassadors. Just want you to hear that again. Everywhere we go, we show up as ambassadors. Say, Ryan, wait a minute. You mean when I go work my shift tomorrow at work, I'm showing up there as an ambassador of Jesus? Yes, that's what that means. When I go to school this fall and go show up at classes, I'm not just doing my time and getting through the semester. I'm showing up as an ambassador of Jesus. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying, Jesus is saying it. Right? There's the reality that no matter where we go, wherever, what we're doing, there's this underlying reality and mission that we are ambassadors for Christ wherever we find ourselves, that he would look and say, hey, I put you here, and I have sent you to this group of people that you're in the middle of. And we might look and say, well, what's my purpose, and where should I land, and what should I do with myself? And those are fine questions. But in the meantime, wherever I am, this picture and this reality and this identity goes with me while I'm trying to figure out the rest. That there is purpose underneath that. Everywhere we go, we show up as ambassadors. Now, does that mean that everywhere we go, we should show up and just start screaming about Jesus? Get a bullhorn, get a sign, turn or burn. I'm not sure that's the idea, okay? I'm just saying, maybe not that way. It doesn't mean you have to be loud. It doesn't mean you have to be obnoxious. It doesn't mean you have to be polarizing in every moment, okay? It's an important piece of it. And I promise, we're gonna unpack this more over the series of what does this look like to do this, right? Because a lot of these relationships are long-term. So what does it look like to show up in all these situations? Let me give you an example. Sometimes I get couples that want to get married, which is awesome, and they want to get married, and they'll be like, you know, there's a lot of people in our lives that we want to share Jesus with, and we want to do it at the wedding. We want you to share the gospel and give an altar call and invite everybody to follow Jesus. And I'm always like, hey, how about maybe not all the way there? How about, this is a wedding, it's actually about your wedding. Let's have a wedding. Let's do that. We don't What if instead of making this a bait and switch where you thought you were going to a wedding and said you were going to an evangelism service, what if instead we just put on display the reality that what is in the center of your marriage is the love of Jesus? That it's the love of Christ that shows up in how you love each other. And when everybody looks at you, they look and go, man, why is that? They're different. That couple seems different to me. What is it? What is it that makes them so different? It seems that guy is pointing to stuff about God in some way, and that's what's driving what I'm seeing there. What if we highlighted and put that on display? And when we pointed people to Jesus in a loving and tactful and respectful way, but we actually just had your wedding. What if we went to work and we actually just went to work and did our job and did it well, but as we did it, we found meaningful ways to point people to Jesus? What if we did the things in our life that we're gonna do anyway, but there's this underlying mission to love and to point people to the person of Christ differently, that I don't have to be obnoxious about it. I can do it within the realm of my personality, how God's wired me, and wherever he's put me, that mission goes with me. So here's where it starts, ready? Here's where it starts. Being ambassador changes the way that we see people. It starts with how we see people. If I'm gonna go to this group of people that are in my life, placed there by Jesus, how I see this group of people changes everything. And the Bible's gonna help me understand that I'm gonna see people differently if I understand that I'm an ambassador. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5 says, 5:16. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And another translation says, we regard no one according to the flesh, is how it's said. And here's the idea. The idea is this, that when we look at people, we don't just see the stuff we like or the stuff we don't like. We don't just see their behaviors. We don't just see their standing or how they dress or how they make decisions or if they look the way, if they seem like, whoa, settle down, bro, right, with the markers. Thank you for helping me. Stranded up here. That's great. We don't just look at the outside. We actually look a little bit, we look quite a bit deeper, and we look into the reality of who is in here. We look through to the soul. And the Bible is going to say that every human being is made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. That I'm going to make that reality show up in how I view the people around me. That Jesus would have laid his life down for each and every one, that God created each and every one with value, made in God's image, that those people have souls, and that each and every one of them will spend an eternity with God in heaven or disconnected from him in hell. That changes the way we see people, right? It's not just that their behaviors that bug me or things that bother me. It's much deeper than that. I can look through that exterior and see the heart of it, see the soul of it. As I begin to understand that, I begin to see people differently, and I start to recognize that not only do I see people differently, but when people see me, what I want them to begin to see is that my life is different because Jesus has chosen me. Right? That my life is different because Jesus has chosen me. Here's what Ephesians 4 would say. Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. Here's the thing. If I recognize this, that Jesus has looked at me and said, hey, I want to forgive you. I want you to be in my family. I want to invite you into this calling. What's the calling? The calling is to be an ambassador. How that ambassadorship shows up is going to show up uniquely in my life based on other circumstances. Some people will be in full-time ministry, some won't. right? Some will be teachers and lawyers, and some will be bricklayers, and some will work on concrete. You name it. It doesn't matter so much the specifics. The reality is that everybody is called to this. In some form or fashion, all of us are a part of this mission to help bring hope and life into the world, to point to the person of Christ and to bring him with us wherever we go. Part of that, part of representing Jesus, is recognizing that when people look at me, they're going to see an imperfect version of him. They're going to see an imperfect version of him. And so I want to recognize this, that the way an ambassador lives represents the one who sent him. This is humbling, and it's difficult. And it's part of the thing that we struggled with in the very beginning of the conversation. Wait a minute, Ryan. See, you said I was, how could I do this? This is all the stuff I was talking about. How can I represent Jesus when my life is such a mess? Here's the thing. It goes like this. We tend to think, if I clean up my life, maybe I can represent Jesus. Jesus does it backwards. He says, I picked you to represent me. And as I embrace that by faith, what happens is it starts to change how I live. As I believe that that invitation is for me, it's going to start to change how I show up in my everyday life. I'm going to start to realize, wait a minute, I'm a representative of Jesus. I can't sleep with my girlfriend anymore. I'm a representative of Jesus. I should probably get rid of this substance problem. I'm a representative of Jesus. I should probably put away that language. I'm a representative of Jesus. I'm probably going to do stuff a little bit. I'm not going to talk about people like that. I'm going to engage relationships and decisions differently. Why? Because there's this overarching reality that part of who I am is a representative of Jesus. That reality starts to humble me and center me and give clarity to my decisions. If that's the essence of part of who I am now, it's not just about being a good person. It's not just about cleaning myself, none of that. It's looking and saying, wait a minute, this king laid down his life for me. And then this king invited me to represent him, but before there was anything that even looked like him in my life. So now I'm going to take that motivation and I'm going to show up here and let Jesus begin to transform my life. It's part of what you heard from Vincent. When you hear his story, as he began to know Jesus, you see more and more and more transformation as he's taking that reality into the relationships that he has. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to do this perfectly. It's not even possible, just so you know. Okay, so before you feel pressure or like feel like a failure or feel disappointed, here's what you know. Ambassadors lead with humility because we don't represent Christ perfectly. So we lead with humility. It's with humility that we want to live, we want to live our life, and we want to speak with humility. Why? Because we are imperfect examples of him. It's him that we're pointing to. It just happens to be that we are his imperfect followers. So as we go on this reality, the mission of being an ambassador, I want to lead with humility. I'm just a lost guy that he happened to find. I just happened to find the message a little bit sooner than somebody else. It's not holier than thou. It's not looking down on others. It's not judgmentalism. It's not leading with your behaviors and everything that you're messed up. It's looking and saying, I'm going to see the souls. I'm going to look at the people that Jesus loved. I'm going to accept them and love them where they are, and I'm going to point them to the King who saved me. That's the idea. To be an ambassador is to stand in the gap between people who are disconnected from Jesus and from his heart and passion. I get to be an imperfect representative of that. There's no place for pride. I can lead with humility and take ownership that I'm still on a journey, that I don't have all the answers, that I'm still figuring things out, that this part of my life is still kind of a mess. And you know what? Jesus still meets me in the middle of it, and that's the gospel. The good news. Can it get you out of bed in the morning to know that God picked you to help be used by God to affect the eternity of another? We don't save people, right? We don't rescue people. He's the one that does that. And he decided, it was his decision, to say, I want to involve you in the process of bringing salvation and hope and rescue to the world. I can't think of a greater privilege than that. And if I'm honest, even studying this week, it's like it hit me brand new again to say, Lord, I can't believe we get to do this. And sometimes I miss opportunities that are right in front of me. Sometimes I check out and forget that I'm an ambassador when I show up in this space. Well, what if I awaken to this reality more and more? What if God's purpose showed up in my life more and more, and I realized that thing that I feel like I just need to get through, this part of my life, I wish I could fast forward, the job that I'm going to go to tomorrow, that conversation that I wish I could avoid, that person that, what if all of these things are framed in this picture? Does it change? It changes everything. Changes everything. Because here's the thing. I only have a little time to play this role. I'm only going to be here for a little while. You and I are going to be here just for a little while. And we get the opportunity to help people begin to ask questions, begin to hear the good news about Christ, begin to see that there might be a different way. And what if some might come to know Jesus simply because we heard the invitation to be an ambassador and we accepted it, we realized it? How much more purpose do I need than that incredible reality? Now, some of you are here today and you're not followers of Jesus, or you're people that grew up in the church and you left the church because you were hurt by maybe people that did this imperfectly. Let me say this. All of us do this imperfectly. Some do this insincerely. And if Jesus was deeply misrepresented to you, here's what I need you to know. I'm sorry that happened. Jesus told us that would happen. He told us that some would show up and look like followers of Jesus, but not be. Sometimes that's the case. Here's what I want you to know. Just because you had a bad experience with one of these does not invalidate this. Does not invalidate the reality that there is a King who does love you, who laid his life down for you, and is longing for you to receive forgiveness, salvation, and invitation into the family of God. I need you to know that today. For the rest of us, right, this conversation hits us midstream. We have our own problems, we have our own burdens, and we might even hear this and think, how am I going to do this? I can't even pay my bills. I can't even figure out how to have a romantic relationship. I can't get over this health thing. Whatever we're in the middle of. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I'm in the middle of. That mission is a part of the conversation, and God will even use my weakness, the difficulties in my life, the unanswered questions, even the failures, if I own them with humility, in the lives of the people that I'm with. You say, Ryan, what do we do with this, man? Like, give me something to grab hold of today. A few things I'll tell you. We are going to unpack this more in the coming weeks, okay? So come back, check the rest of it out. If you're out of town, make sure to catch it. But I'm going to give you a few things to walk away with today. Here's the first one. What if you woke up tomorrow and each day you said this to yourself? Each day you woke up, and maybe even before you grabbed your phone or you hit the alarm clock or whatever you got to do, He said, I am sent into this day by Christ, for Christ, and the Bible says with Christ. I am sent into this day. I am chosen to go into this day and this moment by him, and I'm doing it because he picked me. I want to go into that for his glory, and the Bible says that wherever I go, because the Spirit of God lives in me, he's going with me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, that even though he calls us to make disciples, even to the ends of the earth, he'll never leave me, he'll always be with me. What if I woke up each day and said that to myself, that I am sent into this day by Christ, for Christ, and with Christ? Whether you're at home raising infants, whether you're living out a job that you absolutely hate, whether you're in the middle of difficulty, whether it's really easy, whatever it looks like, to wake up with the purpose that says, wait a minute, this isn't just another day. This is a day by Christ, with Christ, and for Christ. I want to go on purpose into this day. That sentence, that 30-second recognition will change everything. It'll change the way we approach our days. I'm not going to just zone out. I'm not going to just try to survive the day. I'm going to show up differently because I know that I've been picked. I'm on the team, and I represent the one who chose me. Here's the next one. What this week can I choose to see one person in my life that's hard to love through the eyes of Christ? Can I pick one person in my life that's hard to love, and can I see them through the eyes of Christ? There's somebody in your life, and when I read that and I said that, somebody who's hard to love, you got a picture in your mind of somebody's face. And you're like, that one. I can't stand that person. They bug me. They frustrate me. I wish they would go away. Right? And the reality is, guys, we as human beings have incredibly frustrating behaviors. They happen all the time. All you got to do is like drive 20 minutes. Right? You're going to experience deep frustration, most likely. Who's the person? Who's the one, right? We want to do this all the time with all kinds of people. Can I just start with one? Who's one person that, right, when I said that, who came to mind? And can you see that person differently? Let me just take you all the way there. Can you see that person not according to the flesh, not according to a worldly point of view? Can you see that that person is a person that's in the middle of their own battle? They're in the middle of something that you don't know about or understand. They have been hurt in ways that you haven't seen. They have been abandoned or rejected or discarded or you name it. They have been through difficulty and they have been hurt, and probably that's a big motivator of why they're hurtful to other people. Hurting people hurt people. Can you see that person as somebody who has been hurt, who's been made in the image of God, who the God of the universe would look at them and he would send his son to die for that person? That one, the one whose face you see. He would lay down his life for them. Really? Is that really what the Bible says? That's what the Bible's saying. For that person? Seriously? Doesn't God just want to save nice people? Well, he saved me. I'm not always that nice. And he saved you. Sometimes you're not that nice either. Okay? He loves us. The creation that he made in his image, and he looks and says, I long for them to be made right with me. I want them to find my forgiveness. I want them to be healed. I want them to come to life. I want them to be filled with joy and peace. I want their transformation. And here's what I want to do, is I want God's vision and view of these people to begin to match in my heart more and more. Can I do that just for one? And as we do it for one, it'll start to leak out to others. Each day, I'm sent into this day by Christ, for Christ, and with Christ. Can I get a picture of the person that bugs me And can I begin to see them through the eyes of Jesus? Can I begin to pray for them? What if we just start there? As we begin to take on the mantle and the privilege and the responsibility of being an ambassador in the kingdom of Jesus. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes. The band will come out, pray for us, lead us. Father, we today want to say thank you again that in your overwhelming kindness to us, you were willing to see our souls and our heart and our mind. You were willing to choose us and love us when our behaviors were offensive and rebellious against you. And sometimes they still are, Lord. Forgive us for that. Would you help us to love others the way that you have loved us? Would you help us to see others the way that you have seen us? And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to believe that you have chosen us to represent you in this world. God, would you light our hearts aflame with passion, first for you and for your name and for your glory, to represent you in the great honor that it is. And Lord, secondly, would you help us to have great passion for the people that we get to love and we get to know and we get to tell about you. Would you help us with this, Lord? Would you lead us? Meet us here.